Well, after 4 years of leading the government efforts to come up with an alternative to the password, Jeremy Grant is leaving government. He's a senior executive advisor for identity management at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. In an email to his colleagues, he says he's unsure where he's going to go next, but plans to leave NIST in April. He joins me now in studio to reflect on progress in identity management and some of the success stories. Jeremy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you in studio this morning. And I guess, you know, since you have started with this NSTIC effort a few years ago, in many ways, the problem of password has gotten so much worse. And we've seen some really bad breaks in the private sector and quite a few in the public sector. So it sounds like you're leaving when things are really heating up and getting urgent.
Well, they're getting. I think they've been urgent for some time, although I think the American public's understanding of the problems with passwords, particularly from a security standpoint, just how weak they are, how vulnerable our password-based systems are, has definitely increased with some of these very big high-profile breaches where the forensics analysis has shown that they were executed by exploiting the weakness of a password. But there's been a lot of great progress as well. And I actually feel like I'm heading out of government at a really good time where you're seeing a tremendous amount of innovation in the marketplace, new solutions coming out that are easier to use, that are really secure, that are easy to integrate, a lot of new standards emerging from the private sector that should make, I think, the next generations of solutions a whole lot easier to get out there. So it's, look, the problem's not solved, and I'm not sure that anybody expected when we launched this strategy 4 years ago that things that we would do would solve everything. But I am really excited that a lot has happened in 4 years and that there's been some really good progress in the market.
Well, in 4 years, I've gone from one smartphone to a second to a third, and now I use my thumb to do a lot of authentication that I never did before. So you are actually starting to see signs of progress here and there around the economy. But let's talk about the 3 years, and we'll talk about the grants that were just made by the NSTIC. But this is the fourth year of grants that were just announced. In the first 3 years, different grants have gone out from your organization. What are some of the grant results that you've seen so far in the 3 years and about, what, $50 million that have gone out to the different organizations since then?
Yeah, so our budget's been about 50. Our grants have, we've probably spent a little bit over 30. And I think it'd be good to, well, let me do a couple things. One, just mention to folks, we have a new solicitation that's on the street that I think you're referring to from our office, looking for applications for the next round of innovative identity solutions to support the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace. So people go to nstic.gov, they can download that solicitation. I think abbreviated applications are due next month. But the purpose of the pilots overall has really been to do two things. One, in a marketplace that's really been full of market failures in terms of coming up with better solutions to the password, how can we see different solutions that, we've piloted 15 different solutions so far. Not all of them are going to be smashing successes. A couple have been not the most exciting, but the good ones have been really good, and they become self-sustaining afterwards. They take off on their own in the marketplace. It helps us seed a better marketplace of solutions. The second has been...
What are some of those successes?
Sure. So, I look across, the, 15 pilots that we've awarded, and, mind you, some of them go back to 2012. Some were just awarded about 4 months ago. In the university environment, we've got more than 140 universities all deploying a standards-based, smartphone-based multi-factor authentication tool. This is a pilot that we made to an organization, Internet2, which is a consortium of most of the major research universities in the U.S. They do a lot of work across universities helping on identity and security. The funding that we established basically allowed them to create a consortium of universities to negotiate bulk pricing with this really easy-to-use tool. It basically comes down to a push notification on your smartphone, and you push the green button to log in or the red button if it's not you trying to log in. In the veterans community, we funded a company out in Tyson's Corner called ID.me that's focused on helping members of the military community be able to validate who they are online without having to, say, scan a copy of their DD-214 that documents their military service and actually send it into people. They've now gotten approved through a program the General Services Administration runs for accrediting private sector credentials. And it looks like next month, veterans will be able to use those credentials not only to buy KISS tickets a week before they go on sale to the general public. Turns out Gene Simmons is a patriot, wants to sell to veterans before he sells to, say, me, but he needs a way to validate that they really are veterans or get discounted gear, say, at Under Armour, but also use that same credential to log into the My Healthy Vet portal, the VA. So, you know, that company has really leveraged their grant to reach a whole community that has been kind of at the margins when it comes to, you know, people building digital solutions for.
And also a community that's been on the margins in terms of being exploited by financial organizations and so forth. And they're kind of right pickings in some ways, recent veterans or people that are still service members. So that's a real service to them.
We think so. So it's been a nice story. You know, we've also been focusing another big area that, you know, where there's concerns online is kids. I mean, I've got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. My daughter has a Kindle. She's now starting to go online, albeit in a very safe, walled-off portion.
They make drool-proof Kindles at this point?
No, they're, well, drool-resistant. So as my 3-year-old has found a few things you can do to it, but that are interesting. But one of the big issues that's out there, actually, not only from a safety issue for kids and their devices, but you know, also for companies, is COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, which basically states that if any information is going to be collected from anybody under 13, there has to be a pretty explicit consent granted for, you know, what that information is in an app by their parents. Well, of course, in an era where people still don't know whether you're a dog on the internet, how do you know whether a 9-year-old kid's so-called parent isn't just their 8-year-old friend who's impersonating them? So there's another company that we funded, Privo, that actually has built a system that has safe harbor from the Federal Trade Commission to be compliant with COPPA. So if companies are using this solution, they have a safe harbor, you know, from different lawsuits and whatnot. They've been upgrading their solution to be much more robust, embracing the NSTIC guiding principles, and basically are building a identity solution specifically focused on addressing this problem.
We're speaking with Jeremy Grant. He's Senior Executive Advisor for Identity Management at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And you mentioned a few that didn't quite work out quite so successfully. What are some of the steam-powered car versions of the password replacement?
I think where we've seen, you know, things struggle, look, we had one pilot from the start that about 2 months after award, they lost a key technology team member when that company had a huge overhaul in management and the new team didn't think the solution that they were going to pilot was viable. And we looked at them and said, you know, rather than try and force you to go through with the grant, what if we just agreed to mutually terminate and not basically waste a bunch of money for a solution that you don't think is going to be viable in the marketplace? Everything we're funding, we really want to see those bidders be confident and excited about the solution that they're putting out there. And so that was, in our view, you know, they say if you're going to fail, fail fast. We realized really quickly this thing was not going to go anywhere. And, you know, we mutually agreed to terminate. I think a couple others where we've had, you know, some challenges, you know, in one case, we had a company that had some really innovative ideas around technology, became clear their ability to execute. The stuff wasn't quite, you know, ready for a pilot phase. And so that was also something that we wound up, you know, relatively quickly. You know, we also found in some cases, you know, a lot of the pilots would, a couple of pilots brought in some really big names, you know, like, you know, top 10 internet sites that, you know, consumers go to. And, you know, the problem you'd find, at least in one case, is you'd have the person who ran identity there who was really excited about it. And then you get a company reorg and somebody else would come in and the company would not commit to. I wouldn't say they wouldn't ever say that they wouldn't participate in the pilot, but they never signed that letter that said, here's when we're going to start, you know, trying to support login a little differently. Where I feel good, though, I mean, we're now 15 pilots in. That's 3 out of the 15 that have been, I would say, disappointments. And honestly, you learn as much when a pilot fails as when one succeeds. You know, a lot of what we're trying to do is not only solve problems and seed the marketplace, but also learn where else do we need to do more work in research and standards and creating a framework of business rules to support not just technical, but also business and policy interoperability. And so the pilots have been really helpful to tease out where do we need to focus next.
And why do you think the private sector has not been so successful in coming up with the killer solution like it has in so many other areas? I mean, why hasn't Apple been able to do this or some company like that where they've had, you know, world-changing products in so many other areas?
I think the biggest reason is that the whole identity conundrum online is something that is too big for any single firm to solve. At least it has been thus far. And we have seen, you know, I've been around the space since the late 90s. There's a lot of people who have great technologies. They've never come up with a framework that they can all be used interoperably. And that's really the thrust of this program is, you know, whether you want to use your biometric on your smartphone or whether you want to use a cool app like I talked about where you push the green button, but there's a great crypto protocol behind it, whether you want to use a smart card like the PIVs and CACs that we all, you know, carry around Washington and the government, or, you know, some sort of a USB token or something else. Consumers are going to need to choose. What I like may not be what you like and vice versa. This tends to be really personal. You need a framework of standards and policies that can enable them to be used interoperably. And that's really where we've been heavily focused within our program, working in partnership with a privately led steering group called the Identity Ecosystem Steering Group that's basically working on crafting this framework. If we can address that, then we're on pace to get version one of that framework out by summertime. It's going to go a long way toward solving the problem.
And that framework is usable by both the private sector and federal agencies, which have their own unique identity challenges.
That is the idea. It's mostly being driven by the private sector for the private sector. But one of the things that the NSTIC said, you know, this was a document that was signed by the president back in 2011, is the government should be an early adopter and look to actually make use of these NSTIC-aligned solutions that are out there. And so, you know, one of the hopes in this in the next couple of years, as the private sector starts to improve its identity solutions, that thing that you're using in your pocket to do a bunch of things in the commercial space will also be used if you log into any one of a number of government sites.
Jeremy Grant is Senior Executive Advisor for Identity Management at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. No plans. You don't know where you're going to go next.
No idea. So that process just started a couple days ago when I sent an email out. And, you know, folks keep asking me, you really don't have anything lined up? And I've been quite sincere. I don't. In fact, it makes it it's really hard to leave a job like this, given the ethics rules. So it's one reason I've announced that I'm leaving, so I can basically recuse myself from, you know, some things going forward and start to figure out what the next great adventure is.
So have a little air gap between this and whatever it is that comes next.
Well, hopefully not too long of an air gap, because we were saying I got a six-year-old and a three-year-old. And
so there's bills to pay.
Yes.
But, all right. Well, all the contractors listening out there, this is not a job offer opportunity, but you know, Jeremy knows a lot of things.
I'll cover my ears now, but thank you, Tom.
But you've spent time on the Hill in your career.
Mm-hmm.
And also in the investment community, so you've had a lot of perspectives on this whole issue.
Yeah, one thing I've you know pointed out is I've actually when folks have asked what I'm doing next, and I say honestly don't know. I don't even know what I want to do. Most of my career, I've moved from one thing to another. Where the next job I take isn't one I was particularly a logical candidate for, or even qualified for. So I've been on the Hill. I've been in industry. I spent 3 years as an investment analyst looking at the identity and cybersecurity space. So I have a lot of different perspectives, certainly, on the identity market, which I guess in theory, this is the first job I was really qualified for on day one that I've taken. But in terms of what I do next, we'll see.
All right. So some of these solutions you've been discussing this morning that the NSTIC has helped to seed with its grants over the last several years and everything else that I'm reading, it seems like the smartphone is becoming kind of the hub of where identity management and the solutions to it will reside. Is that your sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we point out, you know, NSTIC's a strategy, you know, essentially calls for a vibrant marketplace of identity solutions. And so we don't have any formal position on what that platform is that delivers it. That said, I always say personally, I'll be shocked if it's not based around mobile, in large part because one, of everything that's happening moving to mobile, and two, the amount of innovation we've seen leveraging the capabilities of mobile devices, particularly smartphones, the last few years has just been stunning. I mean, you know, I go back in the space, you know, back to the late 90s when we were doing everything we could just to throw a digital certificate onto a smart card. And back then, the cards literally weren't big enough to hold the certificates of today's key lanes. And so it was a bit of a challenge. But we've come a long way since then, where instead of having to give somebody a separate hardware token like a smart card that they carry, a lot of that functionality that's in that card can now be built into the devices we're using. And so with that, we have seen, and in some cases piloted, the use of some really innovative solutions that offer not only great security, but also great convenience. Convenience is a really big thing when it comes to replacing the password. We all hate passwords. We're managing 27 or 30 of them. Nobody's particularly happy with it. But in the past, when consumers have been asked to carry something else with them, they generally haven't wanted to do that either. So it's essentially been trading, you know, one set of problems for another. And what we're seeing now is by leveraging mobile devices, you don't have to worry about getting something into somebody's hands. They already have it with them all the time. It's, you know, my favorite quote on smartphones is they become the remote control for your life. And why should they not have an identity solution tied to them that complements all the other things you can do with your phone?
Yeah, I saw a solution at one of the conferences recently that was put out by NASA, mm-hmm. where to log into a computer system, instead of using a trusted ID card, that credential, in effect, has a virtual existence inside the smartphone, and therefore, and similar to the solution you described for the veterans,
yeah.
you push a button and you log
yeah.
on.
So NIST actually, I mean, we've been challenged on this on our side. You know, we have smart cards in government in large part thanks to Homeland Security Presidential Directive HSPD-12, which was issued back in 2004, which led to the creation of the standardized smart cards that we use everywhere. And let me be clear, they've been great. I mean, I use mine every day to log in securely. I digitally sign gobs of documents. It's really helpful for me because, you know, NIST is in Gaithersburg, but I'm based downtown. And so the amount of trees that I'd have to kill to send paper back and forth would be immense if it wasn't for my PIV. But what NIST has really been challenged as agencies are looking to go mobile, there isn't a real easy way to jam that card into a tablet or a smartphone, at least not in the current form factor. And so NIST just published a couple months ago Special Publication 800-157, which essentially looks at ways that you can use your PIV card as a root of trust to spin off what it's called a derived credential that's housed then in a secure element in a smartphone, and basically extends that security trust model from the card all the way to the mobile devices.
So eventually there will be no card, really. It could be something over the air issued that resides in your phone in some encrypted manner?
Potentially. Or if you look at what the technology is that actually is being used for device authentication in most mobile devices, it is a smart card. It's just, you know, instead of having a card that looks like the shape of your credit card, it's just the chip, the SIM that you include. So I think a lot of what you're seeing right now in mobile are solutions that either take advantage of that SIM or other secure chips that are in the devices, because there's other things that you can put in them as well. You know, there's a lot of different models emerging, and I don't know that it's clear that any one is going to dominate. Our view is, as long as it meets a certain threshold for security and usability and privacy, it really shouldn't matter. What we really need is a framework for all those solutions to be used interoperably.
We're speaking with Jeremy Grant. He's Senior Executive Advisor for Identity Management at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And let's return to the NSTIC for a moment. Now, you have just announced the 2015 pilot project funding. So looking ahead, what are some of the key areas that you want to develop with the grants, in the coming year?
So it's actually, the one thing I've given guidance to for folks who have asked what should we bid is, look at what we've awarded in the past year. I would say the solicitation that we've put out over the last 4 years, while we've evolved it a little bit since we first published one in 2012, it's actually stayed remarkably true to form in terms of the kinds of solutions we're asking for. The overarching theme that we sort of set out 4 years ago was we want to fund solutions that are going to make something happen in the marketplace that otherwise would not, which is something that I think threw some people for a loop. And that means, we haven't been looking to fund, basic R&D projects. There's a lot of other ways that can happen in the marketplace through other grants. There's been some companies that have come to us and said, hey, we've got a really interesting idea. Will you be our venture capitalist and give us $1 million to develop it? Our take's been, no, that's not really the role of government. And by the way, there's folks in the venture community who can make that happen. We want to make the things happen that would not. So, where we have focused, particularly has been on pilots that not only help advanced new technology, but actually demonstrate that it's being used by real people going to, in many cases, some of the big brand names online that we all do business with today.
Because in looking at the bullet points for what it is you're looking for, I see a thread of usability and ease of use.
I mean,
in many ways, this is parallel to the internet itself, which was difficult and complicated for the average person to even understand until places like AOL virtualized all of the complexity for people, and then suddenly a billion PCs got sold and everybody in the world was on the internet.
Yeah. And I think we're at a similar inflection point right now where, after years of, good Lord, like I said, I've been around the space since the 1990s, seen a lot of entrepreneurs who've come in and tried to argue that something would dominate the marketplace because the way it handled a particular aspect of security was slightly better than all of its other rivals that were out there. And, that's interesting, but the reality has been, for the most part, the marketplace has sort of shrugged its shoulders about that. There are a lot of different ways to do security, if you can't bundle security with a way that's easy for people to use, then nobody's going to use it, and then you're not making anything more secure.
And that's been the problem with PKI. It took 10 years before anyone could understand what it is, and then the solutions related to it were not so easy to use.
Yeah, I think PKI is certainly, it's very secure and very complex. I think one thing we're seeing, you know, certainly in the consumer marketplace, you know, if you know, as we talk to a lot of big firms outside of government, their take's been, there's a few things we need PKI for and a lot of things that we honestly think it's overkill relative to the risk of a transaction. But if we can have something that's, you know, there's a really nice, I call it the dense, chewy middle between passwords, which offer basically no security, and PKI, which offers a lot. There's a whole lot of solutions in the middle that are both an exponential improvement over just a password and also exponentially simpler than getting to something, you know, more PKI based.
And a final question: in the future, do you see this whole idea of identity, trusted identity management, bringing together the cyber and physical worlds for people, so such that your automobile is controlled by the same identity that gets you online and gets you to do transactions and so forth, or operates your home or your office or your federal agency, whatever rights and authorities you have there, all together in one identity?
Yeah, you know, I think it's happening today, although whether everything truly gets consolidated to a single identity or a single, well, I only have one identity, I'm Jeremy Grant. I might have several personas. And I think where people are going to end up is, much as I have five different email addresses, you know, one for people to email me personally, one at work, one that I use only on my neighborhood listserv because my neighborhood listserv is a little interesting sometimes, a fourth one that I use to buy stuff online. Those are different personas that I have online, and I think I might, in the future, people will have different credentials for each of those different personas rather than a single key that unlocks everything.
Jeremy Grant is Senior Executive Advisor for Identity Management at NIST. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Tom.